Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, I think you're going to enjoy this next one. The remarkable rise and spectacular fall of the exercise bike company Peloton. It rose to fame during the pandemic. It was used by celebrities ranging from Usain Bolt to Jill Biden. It was all capped off recently when its founder, a man called John Foley, announced that he's penniless. But Peloton is not the only boom to bust business story of recent times. And Adam Maguire of the RTE Business Desk is here to talk us through some of the more interesting ones. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
This is all fascinating. So now Peloton, we're going to start with first. So poor old John Foley, he was the founder, the CEO. It was a multi-billion dollar company, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's no money, has he?
Well, he claims he's lost all of his money. He was in an interview with the New York Post and he said that he was working hard to try and make his money again because he doesn't have much left. He's had to sell his home in the Hamptons. He's had to sell his Manhattan townhouse for a combined $86 million to make ends meet. You know, I do wonder if he's really broke, though, or is it just that he's quite rich now rather than very, very rich?
Because all relative.
He would have had a CEO salary for over a decade. You're talking millions of dollars there, bonuses and all the rest. He sold at least $150 million worth of shares in 2022 and 2023. So, you know, he's probably still all right. What has changed from definitely, though, is that he at one stage was a billionaire on paper because of the shares he owned. He's definitely not a billionaire anymore.
Right. So what happened?
Yeah. So you mentioned Peloton. It starts in 2012. He was the co-founder and CEO until 2022. If you're unfamiliar with the company, it's essentially, the core product is essentially a stationary bike that has all these smart sensors on it to measure your activity, a screen attached to the handlebar so you can participate in live classes globally with people around the world. Very much a premium product though. So today a Peloton bike costs between 1,900 and 2,700 euro. I think you can buy a regular stationary bike for about 150, 200 euro. So it's quite a markup for all those smart features.
But the coaches were celebrities as well, weren't they? Like there was a whole thing around.
There was, and there were, you know, the favourites and people who were the best ones and all the rest. But to access that then, after paying $2,000 for your bike, you have to pay a subscription fee. It was 40 euro a month subscription in order to actually access those live classes. But as you say, big names were using it. David Beckham, Rory McIlroy, Michael Phelps, Roger Federer, Beyonce, Hugh Jackman, huge list of big celebs using it as well. Very much the preserve of the wealthy and the elites and sporting types. And it got a lot of investor interest as well, probably because of those big names. Ultimately, it floated in 2019 at a valuation of $8.1 billion. So it was doing quite well.
And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah. And those early investors probably thought they'd won the lottery because, you know, most businesses suffered during the pandemic. But Peloton, it was actually quite a good time because suddenly you had a lot of people stuck at home, unable to get to the gym or their sports club or whatever it might be. Many of them had a lot more disposable income because they weren't going out anywhere and they had time in their hands as well. Suddenly that, you know, massive investment in a bike and in a membership fee didn't seem like something that was only for rich people, and sales boomed. So the share price went up and the company's value at one stage hit $45 billion compared to the $8 it floated at. And Peloton did what most companies do in this situation, which is they expanded aggressively on the back of this. They increased staffing levels. They pushed out new products, including a smart treadmill. But of course, the critical error was thinking this boom in sales is here to stay. It's not just a short term thing. But, you know, COVID restrictions started to ease, gyms started to reopen, and sales started to fall on the back of that as well. It wasn't the only problem, though, because there were also concerns about the products that they kind of rushed to market, like the treadmill.
Yeah, the treadmill was a big mistake.
Yeah, it really was. And there was no cover, essentially no cover. You imagine a treadmill, no cover on the back of it. So you had the track running underneath it. And it led to some children and pets actually getting caught and getting pulled underneath it as a result of one case of a six-year-old child in the US who actually died following getting injured by this treadmill. They had to pay out a $19 million fine on that. In April of 2021, the US Consumer Product Safety Commission advised people to stop using Tread, as it was called. And in May, the company had to recall the product completely. So it was a massive problem for the company.
And then they did a relaunch, didn't they?
They did a relaunch, yeah. In August 2021, they brought it out with improved safety features and so on. And they were trying to get themselves back on track at this stage. But then they hit another PR nightmare, which a far less serious one than causing a child's death, but strangely, perhaps more damaging because it was, you know, one disaster after another. So a spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen And Just Like That, the Sex and the City follow on. An episode of that aired in December of 2021. Mr. Big was using his Peloton bike. Mm. He got off it, finishes exercise, gets off the bike, has a massive heart attack and drops dead.
Yeah, I remember watching that and thinking, oh, Peloton must be in on this. So it must be like some sort of a clever marketing tool that, you know, I don't get yet.
Yeah,
but they didn't know about it.
No, they didn't know about it. They said, no, this wasn't product placement. We didn't know. They didn't get permission or anything like that to use this. They did try and scramble and do some damage control. They quickly put together an ad featuring John James Preston, who is Mr. Big, which emphasised the importance exercise has in improving your heart health. But, you know, the damage was really done. They said it was one blow after another for the company. And February 2022, John Foley announced that he was leaving and 2,800 jobs were going with him as well. Barry McCarthy took over, but still things still aren't going smoothly for the company. Back in May, he announced he was stepping down, 400 more jobs being cut. And through all this time, the share price has been falling. So remember, it peaked at $45 billion. The value of the company now is about $1.8 billion. That's a quarter of what it floated at back in 2019. It's really struggling along.
Right. Well, that's Peloton. There's another one now we want to talk about. This is a company called Research in Motion, which I think a lot of people probably won't have heard about, but they'll have heard about the product, which was the BlackBerry.
Yeah. Briefly, the king of the smartphone market, but it kind of got wiped out by one keynote address. So founded in 1984, Research in Motion, or RIM, it was a pager maker early on. And then it came up with a two-way pager, kind of like a texting machine, which was quite novel. But the real innovation was in the late 90s. It found a way to send and receive emails over your mobile device, which hadn't been done before. The networks couldn't handle that kind of data, but they figured out how to make it possible. In 2002, they launched the BlackBerry 5810, which is really the precursor to what we know as a smartphone now. Big screen, full keyboard, it can do calls, texts, emails, even kind of web browsing as well. And it became quickly a status symbol of, you know, the upwardly mobile and the business elites and so on. Mr. Big definitely had a BlackBerry. and it became a joke as well. They were so addictive, people started calling them CrackBerry because people were constantly
did
on these things.
Did you have one?
No, I didn't have one, no. I got one to try out one time, but I didn't actually own one, no. But at its peak, 50% of the smartphone market in America was BlackBerry, 20% globally. Mm-hmm. Now, the smartphone market was much smaller then. Most regular users were on a Nokia phone or the like. But, you know, they were in a prime position for when the smartphone market was going to take off because they had such a big share already. So you would have thought that they would be the ones to dominate.
So why did it go wrong for them?
Well, it all went wrong on the 9th of January 2007. That was the day that Apple CEO Steve Jobs took to the stage and unveiled the iPhone. Now, BlackBerry, like Nokia, dismissed it at first. They didn't think this was a threat to what they were doing. BlackBerry said, look, it doesn't have a physical keyboard. The email link wasn't secure like BlackBerry was, so it wouldn't be safe for business users. And the battery life is crap as well, which was all correct. But the problem was that business users and consumers just didn't care about all that stuff. You know, suddenly the iPhone was the status symbol device rather than the BlackBerry. And of course, then you had other touchscreen phones coming to market shortly afterwards, Android devices and so on, and BlackBerry sales started to plummet on the back of that. They did bring out their own touchscreen versions and some that were touchscreen with a physical keyboard as well to try and...
Too late.
They were valued at one stage at $67 billion. That was in 2007. They sold for $4.7 billion 6 years later. So just complete collapse in valuation. They stopped making their own phones in 2017. And now BlackBerry still exists, but it's a security software company. It doesn't make anything to do with phones.
Right, because you never hear about the brand anymore.
No, it's just... And like that, for a brief time, it was the brand in the phone market. And now it's just gone.
Now, you have another one for us. Segway, the future of transportation.
Yeah, like it's really hard to understate how, you know, this was seen as the next big thing as well. It was a patent filed by Dean Kamen, who initially used it in a wheelchair, but then he made a two-wheeled Segway, which is what we knew in 2001. So it was this, you stood up on this little platform,
held the handlebars,
and you would lean the way you wanted to go. And it would, apparently very hard to fall over and all the rest.
George Lee had one. famously had one.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Probably one of the few people in Ireland to have. I don't know if they ever officially went on sale here. Maybe they did. But one of the few people in the world to have one, actually, in terms of how they sold. But hard to overstate, though, how people hyped this thing up. You know, people said it was the future of personal transportation. Again, Steve Jobs said it was as big a deal as the PC and that future cities would be built around the Segway, was his thought. Suggestions it would be the go-to transport device for police forces. Some police forces actually did pilot them as well.
Did we have them here? Did the Gardaí have them? We'll find that out. They did, we think. Okay.
There you go, yeah. So, yeah. And I remember seeing them on TV and a film all the time as well. I remember there's an episode of Frasier a year after they came out where Niles has one, is trying one out, and it wasn't a product placement thing. It was just, this is seen as futuristic, so let's use it in our show. And all that coverage would lead you to believe these things are booming. You know, everyone is buying one. But it wasn't the case at all. They initially aimed for 40,000 sales per year. 2 years after launch, they'd only sold 6,000 units. So like way, way off what they were expecting. After 5 years, they'd sold less than 24,000 units.
Were they just too dear, I wonder?
Yeah, $5,000 was the sale price. Like, you're talking back in 2001, you're talking car territory there. Yeah. Certainly not enough if you're a bike user or a pedestrian to switch over. But they had an image problem as well. Steve Jobs gave out about how ugly they were, having previously championed them. And they came a bit of a punchline. You know, they were used by security guards in shopping centres rather than elite police forces. You know, there's that film Paul Blart, which the Segway is a big character in that. So having failed to live up to all that hype, it was eventually bought by British millionaire Jimmy Hesselden in 2009. He had plans to finally have the company live up to its potential, but ended quite tragically. Less than a year after he bought the company, he died accidentally driving a Segway off a cliff. And that was ultimately the end of the company.
Right.
The brand was acquired in 2015 by Chinese company Ninebot. The name still exists, but if you go onto their website, they're selling scooters and hoverboard type devices and robot lawnmowers. You can't get the
Segway
that we all remember. Yeah. That's gone. It just doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think that it was intended for use on cliffs. But anyway, Theranos is the last one. Theranos is a funny one, isn't it? Because it was a boom company, but it was nothing about it was real.
No, it was a boom company on paper and in investors' books and all that. It never really became a consumer product like these other things did. So founded in 2003 by Elizabeth Holmes, daughter of an Enron vice president. She was a Stanford dropout, of course, like all good innovators. She claimed to have made an incredible discovery that she had a device that could run a wide array of medical tests immediately with just a small drop of patient's blood. And anyone who's had blood tests done knows the way it works normally is you get a vial taken. If you're having multiple tests, you get multiple vials. It takes time for that to be analysed and for results to come back and all that. So this, potentially a game changer, would allow people to identify problems and treat conditions, you know, that just would go unnoticed otherwise.
Be tested in your local supermarket.
Yeah, it was going to be that you'd go down to your pharmacy, the machine would be there, they'd test and straight away you'd know if there's anything going on. So, you know, potentially a revolutionary product. So compelling, Holmes managed to drum up $724 million in investment. The company had a $10 billion valuation. She had some big names on the investor list: Rupert Murdoch, Carla Slim, Larry Ellison, the Walton family who created Walmart. US pharmacy chain Safeway spent $350 million to retrofit the stores to take the Edison device, it was called, that would go into their pharmacies. And she got some big names on the board as well: US Army General Jim Mattis, Henry Kissinger, US Senator Sam Nunn and Bill Frist. But you'll notice there a lot of, you know, military and political names, not really any medical or scientific names. And that maybe was kind of the first clue that something was going on here, because the whole thing was essentially a lie. The machines never worked. Even when she did trials of them initially, they were actually using Siemens machines in the background. They made it look like it was their machine. And then they tell patients, oh, we just have to take a bit more blood. There's just some issue at the moment, but we'll fix it. And they were using the old-fashioned machines in the background.
The old tale of the magic stone, isn't it?
Pretty
that
much,
makes soup. Like you have to add all these vegetables.
Like Joe Biden, who was then vice president, toured the facility in 2015. But what they showed him was a fake lab. They built a fake lab to give him a tour because the real one was such a disaster. And it was so clear that they weren't actually doing what they're supposed to do. And it was around 2015 that people in academia started to ask questions, saying, look, this has never been verified in any way. What they're saying is essentially impossible. The media started taking a closer look, and then the FDA did as well. And the lawsuits started piling up. In September 2018, the company was shut down. Holmes and her former president, Ramesh Balwani, were indicted on claims of wire fraud. They're both separately found guilty in 2022. Holmes serving a sentence of more than 11 years in prison, Balwani being sentenced to almost 13 years in prison. So like that, it never actually made it to market, but it was this massive company, tricked a lot of very important people and just completely fell apart. It was complete smoke and mirrors.
And you can watch the drama of that story.
You can watch the drama, the documentary,
Netflix.
You can listen to the podcast, read the books. There's so much done on this that you can find it all about the nitty gritty of it. An incredible story, really incredible.
Adam, thank you so much. Off you go now in your Segway, and we'll see you soon. It's Adam McGuire back after this. We'll be asking who will be the next leader of the Conservatives in the UK.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.